everyone. Welcome to this installment of our Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'm your host, Matthew DiMaggio. Today, we'll be discussing the municipal markets with JT Thompson, Portfolio Manager of Aquila Tax-Free Fund for Utah. Thanks for joining us today, JT.
Thanks, Matt. I always appreciate these opportunities.
Fantastic. So just to get started here, it's no secret that 2022 was a challenging period for the fixed income markets, but hopefully the worst is behind us. I wanted to zero in on municipals, though. So in your view, how is 2023 shaping up so far?
Well, Matt, 2023 started out your typical municipal market. January is always a large amount of money coming due, and so rates drop, and that's exactly what happened. And February was low issuance, but fairly stable in February. And March started out okay, but the last couple of weeks with bank failures and high volatility in the markets, both the equity and the treasury markets, 23 started out nice. Right now there's high volatility. But the interesting thing is the muni market has stayed fairly stable. It just has not been as volatile as the treasury market has been. And when you get some market volatility, that gives us a lot of opportunities to take advantage of the markets and offerings out in the market.
Thanks, JT. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the remainder of the year plays out, but thank you for the overview so far. As we look at the municipal market today, what would you say are the leading factors driving the market?
Well, supply, flight to quality, and right now a lot of the volatility in the markets, as we talked about, munis have not been near as volatile as treasury market has been. We have tomorrow the Fed, meeting. Seems like there isn't an economist out there that really has their finger on what is going to happen. But I expect the municipal market to, again, stay fairly stable until the path clears and we know exactly where the Fed is going to be.
Yeah, and really just an interesting time in the Fed fund cycle here as we watch the Fed closely. You did touch on interest rates and their effect on municipal bonds, although it was a little bit more limited. We, being the municipal bond market, are, of course, not immune to the changes in the rate environment, and so much has taken place on the yield curve. So my question for you is, as you look at the yield curve currently, where do you see value, potential opportunities, or anything attractive from a risk-adjusted return point of view?
Well, Matt, I've been in the municipal business for nearly 40 years. This is the most unusual-shaped municipal yield curve ever. It is bowl-shaped. So basically, the one-year and the 12-year have identical yields, but you have this bottoming bowl, and then you have the yield curve fairly flat from 12 years out to 30 years. It's interesting. This never happened. Most of the time, the municipal yield curve doesn't invert. When it does, which I've seen a few times, it's usually from 2 to 7 years. But it'll become very flat, but there's usually a curve to munis. This bowl shape has got a lot of people that have been around in the muni business for decades talking. There was nothing like this in the 70s or 80s when we had high inflation. I feel that there was a flight to quality in municipals. Again, we had Silicon Valley Bank was a big buyer of munis, and that could be what has shaped the municipal yield curve. As a portfolio manager, all of a sudden, you have opportunities to barbell, where in 2021, rates were so low in the short end that there were no opportunities to do that. And again, when you have something unusual, it's best to be a little patient and be willing and able to strike at the market opportunities that come. And we've seen a few of those, even in the bottom of this bowl-shaped, some real opportunities there to pick up attractive risk-adjusted returns.
Thanks, JT, and your perspective on those historical markets is just so beneficial, so thank you. Shifting gears a bit, JT, I want to talk about Utah. What are the latest developments impacting the local economy and or the municipalities themselves?
In Utah, issuance is down 31%. We have a few other reciprocal states. In Florida, it's down, issuance is down 57%. In Texas, it's up slightly to 5%. In Nevada, it's down 75%. So issuance has been a little bit of a problem. Here in Utah, we find interesting with construction cost overruns. A lot of the school districts have had to issue alternative type of municipal structures to pay for those cost overruns. They're not using their geo debt. They're using what they call appropriation debt to cover those overruns. Historically, it's been rare that a school district has ever used appropriation debt. But this year, the majority of the issuance, the larger issues, have been appropriation debt, which, again, is something a little unusual. But with the growing economy and growing population, the tax revenue is there to pay for the bonds. Locally, Texas Instruments just announced an $11 billion expansion to their chip factory here in the Salt Lake Valley, and that will continue to help with the economy going forward. We see growth. Delta Airlines has talked with the Salt Lake Airport about expanding to more gates. The Salt Lake Airport hasn't even finished their whole reconstruction yet, so it's been good. We've had a lot of snow this year, so at the end of the season, we'll see how many skier days, but my guess is that we probably had record skier days because of the wonderful powder that we get here in Utah.
Yeah, and great coverage on such a unique state. I want to wrap up today and ask you, given what you shared, what would you want the key takeaways to be from our conversation for the listeners?
I think an important part of a well-balanced portfolio is a fixed income portion. And in that fixed income portion, some high-quality tax-exempt municipal bonds, I think should be, in my opinion, essential part of that piece of that pie. And when you look at the intermediate sector, which is what the Utah Fund is, a high-quality intermediate. I think a high-quality intermediate fund like the Aquila Tax-Free Fund for Utah really fits in nicely with an overall investment portfolio.
All right, that wraps up for today. JT, thank you again for joining us, and thank you to our listeners. Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila Group of Funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax, referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to the earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the invested amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividends received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.